The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 3, text number 21, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on December 31st, 2015, in Sydney, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yad yad acharati shrestas tattadeveta rojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanuvartate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king, or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher, are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaraganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Svamaniti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchat Yadeshatarine. So here Krishna is speaking about the great acharyas. They are absolutely essential in the human society. If there is not a great acharya to lead people by his teachings and by his example, then the whole world will go to hell, as we're seeing it's doing at the present moment. But we do have a great acharya, a great teacher, who can indeed save the entire world. That is our beloved spiritual master, our founder acharya, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astatarasadashishimad Esi Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has taught us by his perfect example how to live a perfect life of full Krishna consciousness. This concept is practically unknown to the modern world. How many people do you know are trying to become Krishna conscious? It's only a very, very small number of people who even know about it, and even a smaller number who are seriously trying to adopt it. But actually, this is what Prabhupada has taught us by his example and by his books as the formula for achieving true peace and happiness. This is confirmed by Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada is not teaching anything differently than what's stated by Krishna himself. Prabhupada points out the leader cannot manufacture something which is not according to the scriptures. And he is a perfect example of someone who's simply presenting the scriptures, that's all. He's not adding anything. He's not subtracting anything. He's simply giving us the teachings of Krishna as they are spoken. So by understanding what Prabhupada is teaching to us, and by sincerely following his teachings, we will become perfect, spiritually perfect. We will have perfect peace and happiness in our lives, and all good things will happen to us. As confirmed by Krishna, ananyaschintayanyomam yejana paryapasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogachaimam bahamyaham. For those who worship me exclusively, I preserve whatever they have, I provide whatever they lack. So one who actually takes Krishna very seriously is giving very special personal loving care by Krishna himself. Krishna is the most qualified person to do that because actually everything is Krishna's property. Everything is going under Krishna's direction. So if you're looking for an insurance policy, Krishna is the best. He's the only one who can absolutely insure, you see. Because everything's under his control. Even Lord Shiva cannot offer that degree of protection. As we see in the Ramayana, Ravana was a big, big devotee of Lord Shiva. But when Ram came to kill Ravana, Shiva could not protect him, you see. So Krishna and Ram, they are Vishnu Tattva. They are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ram is simply another manifestation of Krishna, to show the pastime of being devoted to one wife. So if you want to actually be fully protected, better even than Lord Shiva can protect you, you see. Because Shiva is nothing but, he's simply a devotee of Krishna, as confirmed in the scriptures. When you come to Krishna consciousness, then you have perfect facility for everything, because all the gods and goddesses, Durga Devi, Ganesh, all the gods and goddesses, Indra Dev, all the gods and goddesses, they are simply servants of Krishna. So when you water the root of the tree, when you give your loving service to Deva Deva, the god of the gods, you see, then all the gods will be facilitating you in everything you do. So why try to do something different from the perfection of life as given by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita? Strike out on your own and do it your own way. Well, it doesn't work. If you follow the system that Krishna is giving in the Gita, I can guarantee you you'll have a perfect life of complete happiness. And when you leave your body, you will not take birth again in this material world. You will, in fact, enter into the spiritual sky where life is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So who in their right mind would want to do something else than become Krishna conscious? Only a complete fool, you see. Krishna confirms, he says, the fools deride me when I descend in the human form. So a fool doesn't accept. He thinks, who is this Krishna? I am great, you see. But that doesn't make very good sense. That person who owns everything, who everything is meant for his enjoyment, that person who is suhridam, sarvabhutanam, who's the friend of all living entities, why should I deny Krishna? You see? Is that a very intelligent thing to deny Krishna? It's like somebody comes in Australia, they want to deny the authority of the Australian government. I don't accept the authority of the Australian government. I'm going to do what I want. Well, he'll end up in the jail pretty soon, you see. So those who want to deny the authority of the Supreme, they end up in the jail pretty soon. That jail is called the material world. And these different bodies we are transferred through lifetime after lifetime are different cells within the prism. Sometimes you have a very high quality cell, like the body of a demigod. Sometimes you have a very low quality cell, like the body of a snake or a germ. But they are all prison cells. Even if you're a wealthy, famous, popular person in this world, it's another type of prison cell, that's all. The only way you can get genuine happiness, the only way you can really have true peace, is to come to the point of full surrender to the Supreme Lord. Any other position is artificial, it's unnatural. Just like a fish out of the water, you may give him a very nice facility on the land. You may give him, oh my dear fish, I see you flapping in the beach, flapping on the beach in agony. What I'm going to do for you today, Mr. Fish, is I'm going to give you a Rolls Royce. You see? I'll give you a Rolls Royce, so that'll make you happy, wouldn't it, Mr. Fish? And I'll give you a beautiful movie star wife and a Rolls Royce and a big mansion in the most expensive part of Sydney. And now you can be happy, can't you, Mr. Fish? No, he cannot be happy. Because he's a creature of the water. So the point is, we are all creatures of the spiritual world. This material world is not our home. So anything you try to do here to be happy, not going to work. Not going to work. All you really have to do to be happy, Mr. Fish, is allow yourself to be tossed back in the water. That's what the devotee of Krishna does. That's what the spiritual master does. He says, let me connect you with Krishna. Why are you languishing here in the cycle of birth and death? Let me connect you with Krishna. Here, take this book. Take some prasadam. Come for darshan. Here's some Bhagavad Gita philosophy. Try chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the kindness of the spiritual master. This is the kindness of the Vaishnava. He sees a person who's suffering in the material existence, and he wants to help that person by giving them Krishna. Because that's all you need to be happy. If you have Krishna, who's the source of everything, everything exists within him. If you have Krishna, you have everything. If you have Krishna, you cannot be lacking in anything. Even if you have everything, even up to the post of Lord Brahma, the chief demigod of the whole material universe we're living in, still you are nowhere if you're not Krishna conscious. So why waste your time beating around the bush, trying to be happy artificially when it's never going to work? It will never work. Just come to the point of Krishna consciousness. It's all you have to do. All you have to do is connect with Krishna. And Krishna is accessible. It's not that you have to get on some mystical airplane and penetrate the coverings of the universe and go to Goloka Vrindavan to connect with Krishna. Krishna is fully present in the form of Nama. This is called Nama Avatar. Golokera Prema Dhana Harinama Sankirtana. The Supreme Lord, you see, this Hare Krishna mantra, it is an import from the spiritual world. It made it through Australian customs with no problem. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Take advantage of this. This name is Krishna himself. You want to be in direct touch with Krishna, the supreme owner, the supreme enjoyer, the best friend. All you have to do is chant his names. The quality of your chanting will make a big difference. Try to chant with love. Try to chant appreciating that now Krishna has come and he is present in the form of his name. Just like even dealing with an ordinary person named Joe, you can say, Joe! See, or you can say, Joe. See the difference? If you say, Joe, it's coming with friendship, you see. You say, Joe, it's coming with anger, enmity. What's going to be more attractive to Joe? If you say, Joe, he goes, Joe! What's more attractive, you see? So similarly, the mood that you chant will either attract Krishna or not attract him. Of course, any chanting, Krishna is very kind. Any chanting, he will accept. He's very kind. Even the example of that Urdu-speaking man, he was being killed by a wild boar. And the word, just like the Muslims, they say, there's halal and haram type of food, you see. Halal is good and haram is no good. So he's being killed by a wild boar, so that's haram food, you see, haram. So as he was being killed, he went, Haram! And Ram was so kind that you uttered my name as you left your body so you can come to my abode. So Krishna is very kind. Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, they're very kind, you see. But I can tell you, that was special mercy. Just like somebody gets an ordinary degree, I mean an honorary degree, you see. Doesn't happen every day. So don't count on some freak accident at the time of death you accidentally chant Krishna's name or Ram, you see. Don't count on a freak accident. You cultivate the habit of always calling the name of the Lord every day. So the time of death, that thing which is most dear to you, which should be Krishna's name, you see. The person Krishna, who is indeed his name, there's no difference. That should be the most dear thing to you. So at the time of death, you naturally think of him. Otherwise, if you think of your beloved dog, your next breath will be in the family of dog. Is it? So train yourself how to always hold Krishna as the most dear person. Is it? Whoever else is dear to you, your family, your friends, they're all given to you by Krishna. So Krishna actually is the most dear, you see. So always hold Krishna as the most dear person. And when you call his name, Prabhupada said, feel the presence of Krishna. Appreciate that Krishna has now come. Chant with the mood of appreciation and your actual connection with Krishna will be, and what you feel and you experience when you're chanting his name will become enhanced more and more and more and more and more. It's called meditation, you see. It's a state of transcending the modes of material nature and entering onto the spiritual plane. So by appreciating the person Krishna has come, he's blessing me by his name, and taking advantage, appreciating Krishna's extreme kindness upon a person who's rebelled against him for millions of lifetimes, but still he's not neglecting me, he's not rejecting me, he's willing to give me a chance now to revive my lost love for him, in spite of so many offenses I've committed in this lifetime and previous lifetimes. The Lord is willing to overlook all of that and give me the complete opportunity now to dive completely into pure loving devotional service to him. So perhaps there's some questions. I can try to answer the questions. I see all blank papers everywhere. No questions. So this another aspect of this verse is that a devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness, how important it is that he becomes an ideal example of Krishna consciousness. In other words, the more you actually become an acharya, the more you can have an uplifting effect on the people around you, indeed on the entire world around you. Sometimes the biggest changes in world history were some small event that took place. It became a catalyst for a huge paradigm shift in the world. So always live like that, on the cutting edge of world history, by always thinking, speaking, and acting in a way that will be pleasing to your spiritual master, who represents Krishna purely, and to Krishna. The spiritual master is important because Krishna is far away for us. We're not able to see him or talk to him yet. We can pray to him, but we can't hear the answer yet because we're on a very low level of Krishna consciousness. But you can inquire and hear your spiritual master, who purely represents Krishna, and describe to you how you can please Krishna in the best possible way. So take advantage of the bona fide spiritual master, take shelter of him, become initiated by him, become obedient to him, because by doing so, then you become tightly connected with Krishna. However tightly you're connected with your guru, your spiritual master, that equates equally into being tightly connected with Krishna. That's why it's stated the spiritual master is the external manifestation of the Lord who is situated within your heart. So take advantage of this process and become happy. This is our request to you. Now some questions have come. How to overcome physical and mental laziness for service of Krishna and Vaishnavas? Being a lazy person myself, coming from the hippie culture, hippies were known for being lazy. I knew that this was not good, my lazy tendency. So I asked one sannyasi one time at a big festival, and I was just absolutely astounded by the depth of his answer, the profundity of his answer absolutely amazed me. He gave a sutra-like answer with two words only. I said, how to overcome laziness? He said, by love. That's all he said. And I went, wow, that's really, really a deep, deep answer. Just think of the mother, how hard she works for that little baby girl. The mother is on call 24/7. Does she ever complain? Because of her loving affection for that child. She gives up sleeping, her even thinks about her own eating. Just whatever she can grab a bite. She's just constantly serving the child with love and affection, you see. And if she doesn't, you say, why are you working so hard? She says, what do you mean working? I'm just taking care of my baby. What do you mean working, you see? So, that's the key, love. Whoever you love, it's not work, it's nectar to serve the person you love. So if you're thinking work or laziness, it means you don't have any love. So just try to love Krishna. Just try to love your guru. Just try to love the devotees, you see? In this way, there's no laziness, it vanishes from your dictionary. The word laziness doesn't exist anymore. What about the process of meditation and yoga taught by other spiritual organizations? Meditation without God doesn't work. They teach you to try to make your mind blank, for example. So you're sitting there, I gotta make my mind blank. I mean, if you're really doing well, you'll be thinking. Otherwise, you'll be thinking, when am I going to meet my girlfriend? When am I going to, go to the lake and with my go for water skiing, you know. But if you're really lucky, you just be thinking, I got to make my mind blank. I got to make my mind blank. I got to make my mind blank. But that's also, your mind isn't blank. You're thinking about making your mind blank. So these other systems taught by other organizations to just make your mind blank, some impersonal type of meditation, is not practical. Not practical. And some of them, they just say, well, just like I went, I talked to some of these, they called themselves Buddhists in Berkeley many years ago when I was a spiritual seeker. They said, what is that, Namge Renge Kyoho or something like that. They said, you chant this and you get whatever you want. If you want a new car, whatever you want, you chant this and you get it. That's not spiritual. So-called Buddhism, praying for a new car. Was Buddha praying for a new car? Is he? I mean, this is bogus. Even Hindus are guilty, you know. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Is he? I'm not picking on him. Christians also. I was raised as a Christian. And my mother said, little Stevie, what do you want for Christmas? I said, Mommy, I want a pair of cowboy boots. She said, okay, little Stevie, now every night before you go to bed, we pray to God for a pair of cowboy boots. So I'd say, dear God, please give me a pair of cowboy boots for Christmas. Every night my mother made sure I prayed. She wanted to teach me to believe in God. Dear old mom, I love her. But she wasn't very advanced in spiritual knowledge. Even though she had nice sentiments, she used to sing in the church with great feeling, beautiful hymns. She's a beautiful lady, but she was lacking that proper philosophical understanding of the science of God. I had to get that from Prabhupada, you see. So Prabhupada's my father and mother in that sense. I had to get that from Prabhupada. But the point is, they teach you some artificial impersonalism, or they teach you to, you know, try to get your material desires fulfilled. They don't get you out of the material world. That's the problem. But Prabhupada is given the process that will get you out of this material world. And I have practical experience now. I went to this group, I went to that group, I went to Christianity, I went to Yogananda, I went to Maharishi, I went to Steve Gaskin, some hippie guru in the U.S. I went to this and that. So many of them. I checked it out. I went to the Pentecostals. You know, they roll on the floor. In the service, they go crazy. They start jumping around and start rolling on the floor. And, you know, I went to one of their services and checked them out. So, you know, I didn't see anything, nothing I could see worked except for what Prabhupada was teaching. Prabhupada is really teaching, it is really teaching, how we can get off the material plane into the transcendental existence beyond time and space. No one else I ever saw was giving a practical method how to do that. Must a devotee think of Krishna only the time of death? Or is it okay to think of your guru the time of death? It's the same thing. The guru is Krishna's external manifestation. If you think of your guru, that's great. Krishna will be very pleased with you if you think of your guru at the time of death. How to best give Krishna consciousness to a baby in the womb? Krishna Katha. You have a lot of kirtans, a lot of Krishna Katha going on throughout the day. You can play tapes, you can have kirtans, keep transcendental side transformations going as much as possible, 24 hours a day. Sometimes because of the various changes in the body, you cannot do your best in Krishna consciousness. Should a woman stop working to provide best Krishna consciousness to the baby in the womb? Actually, according to Vedic culture, women don't go out and work at all, to be tell you the truth. That's Vedic culture. The woman doesn't have to go out and trouble is, as soon as you get women in the workplace, people be the whole lust, all this subtle lust is going on in the workplace all day long, you know. The women are putting all the fancy things in the fingernails and all the makeup to be sexy all day, look sexy for all the men, and the men are, it's just a really contaminated atmosphere. Sorry, I'm going to tell the truth, you know. So the best thing is the woman doesn't go out into that atmosphere. That's in the Vedic culture. Even when I was a kid, the women didn't work. Only the men went out and had jobs, except for a few secretaries and school teachers. All the women were at home when I grew up in America back in the 50s. So the ideal thing is the woman maintains a wonderful Krishna conscious atmosphere in the home. You can have nice puja going on in the home, nice prasadam, everything sparkling clean, a beautiful atmosphere. And the kids grow up with the most wonderful, loving care of their mom. That's the ideal thing. So the best thing is that you can the more you can take off work when you're getting ready to deliver a child, the better. The more you can, I understand what I'm saying might not be practical for many of you, but as far as you can, the more you can move in that direction, the better off you'll be. That's a bet. Better off you'll be. Stay-at-home moms is Vedic culture. The more you can move in that direction, you know, they work a part-time, mom can work part-time, or some, you know, the more you can move in that direction where the mother is there to nurture the children and take good care of them and create a wonderful atmosphere in the home, like a Vaikuntha atmosphere in the home, that is the best thing. The population of Earth is increasing every year. This includes humans and animals. Does that mean that more and more souls are falling down? Actually, the souls are falling down all the time. They're being shifted around. There's also millions and billions of souls on the level of microbial germs as well. The question would be, is the number of souls in the material world increasing? Not necessarily. There are souls being delivered back to Godhead, and so more souls calling. So what's the deal, one may ask? Are we have an equal number of being delivered as falling down? I don't know the exact statistics, but I can tell you one thing. There's an infinite number of living entities in the material world. So it's hard to measure infinity. Could you please summarize Krishna consciousness in one or two senses? Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam. In one sentence. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When I see pure devotees, I feel inspired. At the same time, I feel very inferior. That's wonderful. We're supposed to feel inferior, lower than the straw in the street. That's how we can taste the nectar of the name. I feel I can't even ever attain that level. Well, by your own power, you can't. You cannot, by your own strength. You have to depend on the mercy of Krishna, Guru, and Vaishnavas. How do I continue to be inspired and not feel depressed? By remembering, the more you can feel dependent on the mercy of the Vaishnavas, that's how you will get your Krishna consciousness awakened, not by, I'm great, I'm going to show you all what a great devotee I am. No. The more you become a humble servant of the devotees, feeling completely, totally dependent on their mercy, that is your strength in Krishna consciousness. Will the soul remember our bodily activities? If not, how will the soul remember to chant? And all our bodily activities does not carry any value. Is it correct? Well, I don't even understand what this means. How will the soul remember to chant? Well, just remember that Prabhupada ordered us to chant. That's how we'll know. Srila Prabhupada ordered us to chant. He says, chant. He gave the order, chant and be happy. If one we chant because Lord Chaitanya has ordered us to chant. The scriptures are ordering us to chant. Haranama, 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 Kevalam, Kalo nasteva 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 gatir anyata. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. There is no other alternative, there is no other alternative, there is no other alternative for God realization in this iron age of Kali. So we remember to chant because we remember the scriptures. Can you please explain why Srila Prabhupada thought the moon mission was a hoax? Well, you could have to ask Prabhupada why he thought the moon mission was a hoax. Prabhupada said, according to the Vedic calendar, the days of the week explain the relationships of the planets. First there's the sun, then there's the moon. Sunday, Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. In Spanish, what is it? Tuesday, what is it? Any Spanish-speaking people here? What is Tuesday in Spanish? Let's see. Lunes, martes, martes, miércoles, Mercury. Yeah. So, yeah, it describes the order of the planets. Our Sariputta has done a very interesting book on Vedic cosmology. And talking about this, there's different ways you can understand what is the earth also. There's the Bhumandala plane. It's a very detailed discussion, but I would encourage you to get a hold of that book, or you'll find it in the Veda base also, Sariputta's book, Vedic Cosmology. If you want to get into this interesting subject matter, it's very interesting reading about Vedic cosmology. We encourage you to check out Sariputta's book. I may be out of print now, you can maybe get it on Amazon. You can try it. It's called Vedic Cosmology by Dr. Richard Thompson. That's his karmi name. I recommend that book if you're interested in Vedic cosmology to help understand how Prabhupada can say that and how does this relate to what the scientists are saying. It's a very interesting book that ties it all together in a neat package. Is it all right to think that one may be in the material world for the first time, considering the frightening reality that we have stayed in the material world previously and have not learned our lesson? Well, this is your first time. One does not fall twice. Krishna says, punarjanmana vidyate. Once they come back to my abode, they don't fall down again. So you can be absolutely sure this is the first time. This is your first time to have fallen into the material world. You don't fall second. You could, but nobody does. No one does. Once burned, twice shy. A little child may foolishly stick his hand in the fire once, but he's not going to do it a second time. So, but you've been here for a long time. I can tell you that. For millions of lifetimes you've been here, but this is your first time. And when you go back, you'll be safe. You won't fall again. If the material world is so infinitely complex at micro and macro levels, how can we comprehend the diversity in the spiritual world, which is more subtle and spiritually dynamic? Well, I guarantee you're not going to be able to comprehend it here. We can't even comprehend the material world at the present moment with our imperfect senses. So you're thinking you can comprehend the spiritual world? No way. But I guarantee you, if you go there, you will have an amazing comprehension of what's going on. You won't have the same comprehension as Krishna, but I guarantee you, you'll have an amazing comprehension. We get some hints of this if we study the prayers of Lord Brahma. I think I got it wrong the other night. I'll try this mantra again. You can tell me, where's my wife? She here? Oh, she's on the altar, yeah. If any pandits are here, if I get the wrong. Ekopisa richabitan jagadanda ko tem ko tishvashe shivadadadi vibhuti birnam. Is that correct? Ekopisa richabitan jagadanda ko tem. The second line?
Yeah, chakti rasta chayaya dantya.
Ekopisa richabitan jagananda ko tem. Yachchak Sarvesa Savita Sakala. No, now I got it wrong. You go ahead and do the Sanskrit. Thank you. I got to brush up my Sanskrit. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. So Brahmaji has an amazing comprehension. If you look at these verses, Ananda Chinmaya Prasapati Bhavata Vistabhirya Eva Nija Rupataya Kalabi Goloka Eva Yiva Satna Vikatya Bhuta Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I have worshipped Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. So Lord Brahma had a vision not only of the mundane universes, but he had a vision of the spiritual universes as well. So there, it is possible to amp up your consciousness by becoming a pure devotee and perceive all kinds of things which are completely beyond our imagination at this point. So, it's not that you're stuck with your little pea brain that we have now, you know, very limited perception, imperfect senses. You can make your senses perfect by becoming Krishna conscious. You can have perfect senses. How can we prevent losing our innocence and naivety and simplicity like when we first joined the Hare Krishna movement? In other words, we often see new devotees that are completely submissive. They're all ears. They just want to learn. But after a while, they think they know it all. And they're not so eager to learn as they were when they first joined. So how can we keep that newness? That's a very important question. How we can always keep that newness and freshness? Because actually, how is Krishna described? Navayovanam. He's eternally fresh. So if you're in the proper mood, there's no question of getting, you know, burned out on Krishna consciousness. I can tell you, if you go through a thing where you're very enthusiastic in the beginning and you lose it after a while, your devotional service is in the mode of passion. That's your problem. You're doing service in Rajagun. You're Raja devotee. Because happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. But happiness in the mode of goodness is poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. So the key is, you do both. That initial passion is good. We don't discourage it, you see. At the same time, you got to cultivate goodness. That means knowledge. Not just recognition. You know, work hard and be recognized and feel good I got recognized. That's passion. And it's okay. So combine passion and goodness. To take very seriously developing a meditative mood, a mood of equanimity, you see? And understand that whether I'm praised or whether I'm chastised, it's the same. You see? So, if you'll cultivate sattva-guna along with taking advantage of the natural raja-guna, which is there in the beginning, you'll be okay. It won't fade out on you. It'll get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as you gradually morph from Rajagun into Sattvagun, you see. And from there you can morph into pure devotional service. So the key is that enthusiasm is great, you know. But you have to develop equanimity also, the spirit of equanimity. Very, very important. It's introspectiveness, you see. Krishna consciousness does not depend on the externals. It's a matter of how much you connect with Krishna within your heart. You have to learn how to meditate on Krishna's name. You have to learn how to see everything transcendentally. Whether you're healthy, whether you're on your deathbed, it's the same for one who is fixed in this knowledge. You have to develop that kind of vision, and then it's going to get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Every moment will be a stepping stone of ever-increasing nectar when you develop that kind of a mood. So try to develop that consciousness. How does a disciple take instruction from guru when he is not around most of the time to talk to? Well, I'll tell you about one person named Sankarshan Das Adhikari, who hardly ever saw his guru. That's me. So when I joined, I didn't see Prabhupada until I'd been a devotee for 5 months. And then I saw him briefly, you know, for a couple at a festival, a few lectures, when he was coming back for his morning walk, and that was about it. And then I didn't see him for about a year. I saw him at a festival in New Vrindavan. And then after that I didn't see him for 3 years. So how did I maintain my Krishna consciousness, not having my guru there to talk to? Well, Prabhupada, when I joined, you could write Prabhupada. That was one thing. Any devotee could write Prabhupada a letter and get an answer back. And that was pretty powerful stuff. And you got a letter from Prabhupada sitting there in your notebook telling you specifically, this is how you should do it. This is how you should understand it. So I took it. I got about maybe 10 or 12 letters from Prabhupada. So I would advise you to write your spiritual master. Prabhupada told me, even there was a policy that came in after I started writing him, that you shouldn't write only GBCs and temple presidents and sannyasis. You should write him, and you just ask the sannyasi, the temple president, the GBCs your questions. But I had been spoiled by the privilege of being able to write him, and I couldn't give it up so easily. So I took a chance and I wrote him anyway. And he wrote me back telling me, reminding me of the new policy, but he also gave me a concession, understanding I felt a need to write him personally. He gave me a personal conception, a personal exemption to the policy. Wow, talking about mercy. I'm always happy, if there's any urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. So I had even though there was an official policy and we were all told don't write Prabhupada, it didn't matter. Prabhupada told me if I had an urgent need, I could directly write him, so I did. But after a while, I didn't need to. I got, you know, at the same time I started writing my GBC, advanced devotees, and I have letters also from, in my Brahmachari trunk, I have my letters from Prabhupada, plus letters from senior devotees at the time, GBCs. I still have those letters that guided me and gave me strength. So you need to actually inquire from your spiritual master as much as you can, and inquire from your temple president, from your GBC, from other senior devotees. Take advantage. There's so much knowledge available in this movement, and so many people who are willing to help you and guide you. Take advantage of them. Don't just do it on your own. You're puffed up if you just try to do it on your own. You take help from others, you see. Take help from other devotees. Take help from your spiritual master, especially when you get a chance. And then you gradually you'll understand what is the mood that Guru Maharaj wants me to be in, you see. How can I please him? What sort of attitude should I have? What sort of thoughts should be going through my brain? What sort of words should be coming on my lips? What sort of actions should I perform with my body? You begin to gradually understand how to always please your Guru Maharaj in every circumstance, you see. And then you become very powerful, you see, in Krishna consciousness. And you can guide so many others how to become Krishna conscious. I was brought up to believe in Jesus Christ, who talks to us on a personal way, on a personal level. Why does Krishna not speak to you personally? Well, Krishna is speaking to me personally at every minute. Sarvadharman prajaja mamekang shadarang raja. That's not Krishna speaking to me personally. Krishna says, give up all other duties and just take service to me as your only business. Krishna is speaking to me at every minute. You just have to learn how to hear him, that's all. He's speaking through the Bhagavad Gita. He's speaking through the mouth of the transparent Vaya medium, this bona fide spiritual master. Krishna is speaking at every minute. You just have to learn how to hear him. That's all. Many times we see the devotees chant their japa while listening to lectures. Ooh. Aparad, nam aparad. Don't do that. Really an opera. It's called inattentive chanting. But I'm paying full attention to my japa. Well, then you're not hearing the Bhagavatam blessed. Then why are you even sitting there? Another one is they chant japa while they're driving to work. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or a clicker. Hare Krishna, click, 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 click. Where does Krishna say? Prabhupada says chant round the beads right there in his prayer form. Where does he say chant on the clicker? We're instructed to chant on japa mala beads. That is our Vaishnava culture. So the point is, get up or go to bed early and get up early and get your rounds done before the sunrise. That's what you have to do if you really want to learn how to meditate on the name. Rise early and chant, if possible, all your rounds. The best thing is chant all your rounds before Mangal Arati, especially if you're doing service, deity service. Best thing is chant all your rounds before Mangal Arati. If you're living in the temple or if you're home, you know, chant all your rounds. You should have Mangal Arati at home too, a little Arati ceremony. All your rounds before sunrise is the actual standard, because that chanting, it's called Brahma Muhurta, that period of time before the sunrise. Any devotional service you do at that time, you get 1,000 times more benefit. So your chanting, the benefit of your chanting is just like when you go to Vrindavan, things are multiplied 1,000 times. That Brahma Muhurta time of day, you get 1,000 times more benefit for whatever you do. So don't sleep during Brahma Muhurta, that period of time before the sunrise. An hour and a half before sunrise, you've got to be up by that time, chanting and doing devotional service. So, yeah, this idea of chanting in the Bhagavatam is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Prabhupada would be furious if he saw you doing that. Prabhupada would chastise you if he saw you doing that. You see? Oh. I hope I didn't offend anyone, but I have to tell the truth. There's a couple of people I have their hands in the beads right now. Maybe they're just listening to the lecture. So, any other questions? Okay, we'll stop here. And we thank you all very, very much for coming tonight to this lecture. We hope that it will go deeply into your hearts and you'll make a big impact on your lives so that you can very quickly come to the point of being able to see Krishna face to face. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.